The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. So, oikos. Amen. So, I started a different, opened up another part of this teaching yesterday, where we are addressing the local church. There's a design that, I don't know who did that design, but that was quite very thoughtful, whoever did it. Amen. Very thoughtful. You know, body parts don't float around. They are planted. They are fixed. Body parts don't float around. The same thing, family members don't jump around. Family members know their family. Amen. And so, it's a big blessing to be part of the local church. So, I was trying to show us yesterday that even though we call ourselves the house of God, yes, we are the house of God, but in another context that we are looking at yesterday, the church, not just the global church, the local church is the house of God. So you are seated in the house of God. So that actually means that someone can be a child of God and not be in God's house. You know, I gave that illustration yesterday. A man gives birth to a child, but then for some reason, you know, the child was taken away from them at birth. So you'll find out that child by right is meant to be a part of that family. But because he or she did not grow up in that family, he'll be living like a vagabond. Does he have a family? Yes. But will he enjoy the privileges that come with family? No. So that's what happens to a Christian who is born again, has the DNA of God, has the nature of God in him, has everything, has the Spirit of God and what have you, but then is not planted in a local church. Psalm 1 tells us, Psalm 1 and verse 1, he said, blessed is the man. Okay, I like Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. I've taught from there a lot. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of discomfort. Verse 2 said, his delight is in the law of God, of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 is where I'm actually going to. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. So it takes a tree that is planted to bring forth fruit. You get what I said? It takes a planted tree to bring forth fruit. And that's not even spiritual. It's not too spiritual. It's what we understand. If you plant a tree today, and after 2 days, you uproot the tree, check how it is doing, plant it back. After 5 days, you uproot it, check how it is doing, plant it back. That tree is never going to produce fruit. But when you are planted, and then planted well by the river of water, he said it produces fruit in this season. And he likens the believer planted by the river of water, likens him to what? A tree that produces fruit in every season. An example of that tree. What tree produces fruit every season? Every season. Palm tree, actually. Palm trees have no season. Do you understand the point? And that's the analogy he's using here. Every time. Then when a palm tree is now planted by the river of water. In other words, you can live a life where you have no fruitless season. That's what I'm saying. Where you have no fruitless earth every time you are bearing fruit. Because of your location. Because of where you are planted. You produce fruit in season and out of season. And that's my story. I get the point. That's my story. And so, it's a blessing to be in the local church. So, I was trying to show us a few things yesterday. But let me look at something. So, we are looking at yesterday. Local church is the house of God. House of God. That's the word. Oikos. So I will show you other analogies, other terms used to define the church. We look at like two or three today and tomorrow, okay? So the church is called the house of God. Now the church, we're going to look at something today. The church is also called that, the local church, I'm talking about the local church, is also called the body of Christ. So this is the house of God. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. So we are not just God's house. This is God's body. And of course, all of this is talking about the same thing. He's just using different words, different terms to explain the same thing. So the church is the body of Christ. And the word body is quite interesting. The word body used in, you know, to talk about the church. 1 Corinthians 12:27, put it up. Put it up. When I mean put it up, let me explain this. Whenever I say put these things up, I'm saying they should put them up for a new member here who doesn't have his Bible. If you're coming to church, I've taught this many times. If I mention a Bible verse, open it in your Bible. That is spiritual discipline. Now, if you guys continue and this doesn't stop, I'm going to give 3 months of no projecting scripture. You know, some of you that can project advanced. 3 months, no scripture projected on this screen. Because it's bad Christian conduct. Look around. How many of you have your Bibles? Bad Christian conduct to come to church without your Bible. Terrible conduct to come to church without opening that Bible. Without opening that Bible. So I'm just mentioning, because there's a scripture. If I let me from tomorrow, don't, now take down this. No projection again for this Bible verse. So that if you don't, okay, well, let's project today. Tomorrow, bring your Bible. It's okay? From tomorrow to the end of this meeting, no projecting again. You know what I'm saying? Buy a Bible and come with your Bible. It's Christian conduct. Some of us, if I call you out, just come and do the basic. Did you do draw your sword? How many of you did draw your sword? They draw your sword. Open Matthew. You are looking for Matthew in the Old Testament. Amen. What the book of Hezekiah is after which book? I have a gift. Book of Hezekiah after which book? Book of Hezekiah. Your brain just connected. So my thinking has to get the gift. If you still open Bible by going to Table of Contents, buy a Bible while coming tomorrow. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. So whether they are projecting or not, Christian character is, if they mention it, open it. Open it. See it for yourself. Because it's battering. And one of the things it's doing to it will do to you. Because forget that I'm preaching and I'm saying, put up, put up, put up. That's not how I started preaching. So by the time you go to places where you have to preach and there is no screen. Because I also noticed some of us that have been doing the caps since we started, you also depend on the screen for to project for you. So I'm now wondering, I was telling my wife yesterday, I'm now wondering, what if you are invited to preach somewhere and there is no screen? And you've not learned how to open your Bible by yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? So set an alarm. 9:30. Bring your Bible. I'm very serious. Yeah? Tomorrow will be interesting. Especially for the leaders and workers. They are blessed. So tomorrow I release the people that are projecting will only walk when we are singing. Okay? Tomorrow, come with your Bible. We'll open Bible. So let me tell you why we have this screen. It's for 2 reasons. One is for aesthetics. Okay, aesthetics is fine, you know, all of that. 2 is, of course, songs. You know, songs and all of that. It's always good that songs are projected so that people coming to church can sing. But there are many songs you are singing that you don't even know. That some people, if you are singing, in the darkness, we are waiting. The only time they sing is, and the church of Christ. That's the only thing they know. After they don't know what comes next. So we project so that people can know what we are singing before the church of Christ was born. And what happened after that church was born. So we project it. But the third reason now is because you are inviting new people to church who possibly have not learned Christian conduct to come to church with their Bible so they can be able to follow. It's actually not for you. I know what I'm talking about. So learn it actually. So they wouldn't invite you to go preach somewhere. Maybe you want to preach in your lodge. and you say, media. I get what I'm saying? So, please, let's work on that. So, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Okay? So, the Bible says, now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, you. Again, in this verse, the you there is plural. You are the body of Christ. So, actually, no one believer can wake up and say, I am the body of Christ. That's why it's great for people to say, I won't go to church, I'm the church. You are. I think the New Living Translation of that tells us, that New Living Translation said, all of you together are Christ's body. All of you together. All of you together. And so, and the word body there is interesting. The word body is soma. And there's nothing spiritual, there's nothing serious about this word body, except that I'm going to explain something. Soma actually talks about the human body. The human body. So it's very, so it's using the analogy of, you know, why I'm saying this, there's another way to use the word body, and it will not mean the human body. You know, right? We can say the body, give me an example. Huh? Body can, there can be body of water, there can be body, an organization can be called a body too. But that's not the context he's talking about here. He's talking about the human body. You get the point? So the church is referred to, that's why if you go through the chapter, the analogy he was using was eyes, hand, ear, eyes. You get the point? So the human body is, the church is referred to as a body. So platform of grace, of course I've explained this part of that body, but I'm going to show you this. Platform of grace is part of that body, but I told you yesterday, in every location, the local church in that place represents the body of Christ in that place. So we are the representation of the full body of Christ in this place. Of course, in a general sense, we are just a part of that body. I know what I'm talking about. But we represent the full body of Christ in this particular location. So the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And the whole of 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 12 to 27 talks about this. And I'm going to look at that very shortly now. But the church is the body of Christ. So that means, if I have to do my drawing again, that means this is somebody's head. This looks a bit insulting because about Christ. But oh God. God, I'm sorry. So this is, let's use this one is, you know, it's a sketch. Because if I try to draw, I might be in trouble. So this is somebody, this is what the church looks like. This now, Colossians 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Now, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the first one of them? So Jesus is called the head. So this is Jesus. This is actually how the church looks. Every other thing from here down is different people. So 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So you are the body of Christ. You, now, someone is hand. I've explained this many times. Someone is this, someone is that, someone is that. That's how the body of Christ is. So every day you see church, don't just see church as just a gathering of people who come to dance and make themselves happy. Church is actually Christ's body. So platform of grace is beyond an organization. It is the body of Christ. I get what I'm saying. It's not an organization. It's not a social club. It's not a social gathering. It's actually the body of Christ. What this means, because he's the head, it means that our lives flow from him. Because everything, it is the head that controls the body. It means that our lives flow from him. I tell you another thing it means, and I'm going to explain this if I mention it now. It also means that we, that is the church, represent Christ, and it also means we carry out his agenda on earth. Let me tell you what that means. That means that this drawing I just did, if the head wants to go to Gariki, how will the head get to Gariki? The legs will take the head to Gariki. If the head wants to pick up this handkerchief, how will the head do it? The hand will pick it up. So everything the head wants to do is done by the body. So that is why it is the church that fulfills the agenda of Christ on the earth. Because the vision of the head is expressed in the body. I made this statement yesterday. I'm trying to explain it today. So whatever Jesus wants to do, he will do with the church. Why? He is the head. We are the body. So if the head wants to do anything, which example am I going to use now? If he wants to play football, he will use the leg. If the head wants to carry something, he will use the hand. You understand? If the head wants to see, he will use the eyes. If the head wants to hear, he will use the ears. Do you understand? If the head wants to breathe, if the head wants to pump blood, he uses the heart. I get what I'm saying. And that is telling you that everything the head wants to do will only be done by the body. That takes you back to that statement I made yesterday. Okay, the fact that it is the body of Christ, that the church that carries out God's agenda on the earth. Now, Ephesians 1 verse 22. Put it up with message. This is another reason why we have screen in the church. I'm giving you a fourth reason now. Right? We have screens in the church because you cannot have all the translations in your hand. So if you want to use screen for other things, you can say, oh, let's use this. Let's see other translations. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying it again, that these screens are not to replace. So the only time we might be needing a screen from tomorrow to the end of this meeting is, if maybe you want to have Passion, want to have Amplified, but you only have King James or whatever you are using. So don't ever think that screens in church come to replace your Bible. Don't do that. Go to any meeting where they have screens, please go with your Bible. And don't just go open it. I get to the point. So look at this. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Verse 23. Quickly. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts. So it is through the church that Jesus speaks. It's through the church that Jesus acts. So if Jesus wants to do something mighty, and notice, and this, I know we are talking about how the believer is powerful, but look at this. Notice he didn't say the believer. He said the church. Not because the believer is not powerful, but because no believer can carry out the agenda of God on his own, alone as a person. So the church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So how does God act around Obolo, the church? I follow what I'm saying. How does God act around Abakiliki, the church? So God wants to go to eat. I'm just being very practical. He wants to eat the church. He wants to fight the church. He wants to bless the church. Somebody say, what if he wants to shit? Can we use that? Yes. Because I might not get to that in this particular teaching, but there's an analogy I drew up on my notes. Every system that works in the human body actually works in the church. The church has a circulatory system. The church has, but I will not get to that. Do you understand? The church has an excretion. There is a way through which, so what is excretion? To remove things. There is a system through which God cleans up the church. One of those systems, for instance, is discipline. Discipline is one way that God cleans up the church to remove things that shouldn't be. So you can, discipline is part of that excretory system of the church. I know what I'm talking about here. So I'm trying to tell you, whatever God wants to do, He will do with the church. And so the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. I tell you what this means. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27, it says, you are the body of Christ. Remember, it's a particular. Number one, this means that every one of us is a member of the body of Christ. Every one of us is a member of the body of Christ. That simply means that none of us is not needed. Please take note of what I'm saying. None of us is irrelevant. Because there is no part of your body that is irrelevant. So it means, since we all are members, none of us is irrelevant. Are you here? It also means that none of us are independent. No one is independent. Because people like the message of, I'm relevant. You are relevant, but none of us are independent. So there is no part of your body that is not important. I've explained this many times. Your hand is important. Your leg is, even your eyes, even your eyebrows are important. But then, there is no part of your body that is also independent. Imagine the eye bouncing up and down. Or the leg moving up and down by itself. Do you understand? That's why no Christian can actually fulfill God's agenda in isolation. Because the revelation of the body of Christ lets us see that none of us are independent. You are not irrelevant, but you are not independent. So, look at verse 15 of that 1 Corinthians 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, look at verse 15. He said, if the foot shall say, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So it's trying to show us every part is important. Yet every part cannot exist without each other. So we are all important, okay, but we are not independent. So you are not independent. So there is nobody that is powerful enough as a believer to be independent. Nobody is like that. We all need each other to fulfill whatever agenda we want to achieve in a place. You know, growing up as a leader, one of the things I had to learn is to delegate things and to trust people. I'm the kind of leader who believes that, you know, the first time I was given a position, you know, to be a president of a school fellow, of SU fellowship then, secondary school, I was given over 10 leaders. I worked with only one or two. If you don't want to work with me, I will not even call you. I believe that somehow I can do everything by myself. That's actually how I think. I don't believe in people. Don't stress me. That you want to, I can do it. So if you don't want to, I can do it myself. But that's, when I began to grow my work with God, I found that that's rubbish. You cannot fulfill, you can't achieve with that kind of thing. You cannot achieve even 20% of God's agenda. That success you think you are gathering as a leader by carrying everything by yourself is not up to 20% of what God actually wants to do with that team and with that body. I feel what I'm talking about. When I started Champions Foundation, it was just like that. We had leaders, so, but sometimes we have a big problem. You still see me going to go and print handbills myself. As some of you remember, you know, even up to 2004, 2015, 2016, if I'm having national meetings, I'm there. If there are certain sound, I'm there helping to carry speaker. What does the Lord say? Stop that. I'm going to come to that. Because people say, Pastor, bro, he's so humble. God says, stop that rubbish. I get what I'm saying. Yeah, because that thing was, it was coming from a place of, I don't want to run him, I go run him. It's not to carry this now, carry it. Yes, I'll take paracetamol. Nobody can fulfill all of God's agenda. Nobody can. And that's what I'm going to digress to say to you. Don't ever come into that delusion of ever thinking that you are the only person that God is using. you are not that powerful. In fact, let me say, don't ever think that your church is the only church that God is using. That's very delusional. And just deceiving yourself. I see people come into, sometimes they are invited to certain places to preach. They say, there are no apostles in this place. That's a big lie. There is no place where there are no apostles. There is no place where there are no men of God. God has remnant in every city. Every city. Elijah came into that thing and God told him, I have 7,000 guys who have not bowed to Baal. So we are all important, but all of us can survive independently because we are one body, different parts of one body. This also means that it takes many of us, actually all of us, to make up the whole. What this simply means is that the body is not complete, that's all of us. So we all are important parts of the local church, hence we need to stay connected to contribute. All of us are important. The body of Christ is not complete, that's all of us. So you are an important part of the body. You are an important part. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, and if they were all one member, where we are the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. So the body is not complete without the different members. And I've already told you, you cannot claim independence. You cannot claim independence. Look at verse 21. You cannot claim independence. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. No, again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, he even used the head here. That means, this is very powerful. He said the head cannot say to the feet. Who is the head? Christ. So Christ cannot say to us that he doesn't need us. That's very serious. I get the point. He needs us. The head cannot say, I don't need the heart. That's why the church is very important to Jesus. This is his body. And that's how he carried out his agenda on it. I get what I'm talking about. So we are all important. Okay, we are all relevant. So you must begin to see yourself as God sees you. That you are part of his church and you are important. But then you must also recognize that you cannot be independent. You must recognize that others have been placed around you to give into your life, and you've been placed around people to give into their life too. So you must understand that I need others and others need me. I need others. So when people say things like, I don't need anybody in my life, that is not Christian character. I don't need you. Everybody get out. That's not Christian character. You need people and people need you. So anybody that says, I don't need anybody, has not learned Christ very well. But anybody that also feels that he doesn't have anything to contribute to people's life, he just wants to be taken and taken, has not also learned Christ very well. We are coming to all of this. I'm just trying to lay some foundations. Are you here? So you need people and people need you. This is how the body of Christ functions. Are you still here? What this also means is that God does not want any division or strife in his body. Because we are one body. If there is division, imagine the hand is quarreling with the leg. And then the hand wants to pick up that, maybe pick up that microphone there. But the leg does not want to go there because it has issues with the hand. Can you imagine that? Glory to God. So the day the leg wants to go to that microphone to pick it up, he can get there, but the hand will not pick it up. God doesn't want that strife. Look at verse 25. So that you see what I'm saying. God doesn't want that strife in his body. Say that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Give me like New Living Translation of that verse 25. Glory to God. He said, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Are you following this? Because you are one body, what it means is we should not give any room for quarrel. I'll address this further tomorrow. We should not give any room for fight because it's one body. And let me even tell you one of the ways not to ensure that there are no divisions in the church. One of the major ways is to not have your own agenda. Because the whole body carries out the agenda of the head. Right? Anything you want to do now is because anything your leg does is because your brain wants your leg to do it. Imagine your leg is functioning on its own, independent of the brain. So there is schism because the hand has its own agenda, the leg has its own agenda, the eye wants to do something else. Why the buttocks wants to do something else? Imagine that kind of system. I don't want to bring it to church. I don't know what pastor is doing. This is the one me I want to do. No, sir. You cannot have your own agenda. So that there be no strife. He now said, if one person suffers, all of us suffer. You know what that means? If someone, our address tomorrow, if someone is passing through tough times, you must see it like I am passing through something. Nothing like I don't care. No. It's the body. Look at the picture. I like you to always carry this body structure in your head. If the leg is broken, the hand cannot say it's not my business. Because if the leg is broken, the hand can no longer go to pick whatever it wants to pick. You get the point? If the eyes are blind, the leg cannot say, well, I don't know, eye that's blind, it's not my business. You won't even see where you're going to. Are you what I'm talking about? You won't see where you're going to. So that's why we must understand that it's oneness. So we must care for one another. Because we are one. See, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. They are glad. He didn't say if one part is honored, all the parts are honored with it. He said you are just glad. I just had to put that there. Before he said, your money is our money. No. When your brother becomes wealthy, celebrate with him. Don't get entitled. Did you know what I'm saying? I just had to drop that. The Bible even say if one part is honored, we all are honored. That's what the Bible said. So don't keep your eye on somebody's money. Say, pastor is teaching us love in this place and you got money, do not give me. Is it your money? He said, if one part is honored, what are we? We are glad. Say amen. So be glad if someone builds a house. Be glad. Don't get angry that he built a house and he didn't give you money. Be glad. Say amen. So that's the message. We are one body. What it also means, the message of the church being the body of Christ, also means that just as the body has many members, okay? Now, hear what I'm going to say. Because it's very important. The message of we being one body means that since the body has many members, and all the members are not the same, it means that all of us in the body of Christ are not the same thing in terms of roles and responsibilities. So in terms of roles, now all the body parts get their life from the head. But all of us are not the same in terms of roles and responsibility. So the hand cannot see why the eye cannot walk. It means we differ from each other in roles and our duties. And that difference must be celebrated. So we are different in terms of roles and functions in the body. We are not all the same. We are not all the same. Did you hear what I said? We are not all the same. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Say the human body. Okay, read this. King James. Let me read it. King James. It says, for as both of the body is one, I had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, verse 14 said, for the body is not one member, but many. So just look at the analogy of the human body. What that means is, you cannot come into church and say, all I know is that we all are the same. You can't talk like that. There is a sense where we all are the same because we share the same life of God. You get the point? The same blood runs through the entire body, through of us. The same blood, the same life. But in terms of roles and responsibilities, we are not all the same. So somebody doesn't say, we are one in Christ. If you preach today, let another person preach tomorrow. Nothing makes you different. No, we're not all the same.
There is a difference. Use your human body. There is a difference. The hand cannot say, leg, you've been walking for long. It's my turn to walk.
I get what I'm saying.
Eyes, you're the one that I've been seeing. Me, so I want to see. What the hand should realize that you are actually seeing, just that you are seeing through the eyes.
I get what I'm saying.
So you are not blind, just that you are not the organ for sight. So we are not all the same. I've heard people say that thing in the name of trying to preach new creation. So all the believers, we are same in Christ. We are not. We are same in fellowship. Fellowship means to share. It means we share certain things in common. Human body now, we share the same blood. If we get blood from your head, if there's anything like that, or get blood from your leg, and get another blood from your hand, it will be the same blood. The same life. I get the point? I heard they used hair. They use hair for DNA test, right? So if you get hair from your head, get from your leg, get from your hand, get from your armpit, run DNA test, it will give the same result. What does that tell you? We are sharing DNA together. That's in that context, everybody, we are all one in Christ. We share things. I get what I'm talking about here. But then in terms of roles, we are not the same. We're not the same. Your hand does not pump blood. And glory to God, it doesn't pump blood. Thank God it does not pump blood. I get the point. Your hand doesn't pump blood. That's by the time we begin to talk about the importance, all body parts are important. But you even find out that some actually work more than others. Do you understand? You know, there are parts of body that can sleep. There are parts that can never sleep. Your heart can never sleep. It keeps pumping blood. Any day it stops pumping blood, you die. Do you see now? So, the heart cannot say, all of us are the same. No, we're not all the same. We're not all the same. That's why we encourage you, for instance, medically now. If you say, my heart is doing something, they give you signs of heart attack. If you have any sign, rush to the doctor. Now, if your hand is paining, you go see a doctor too. But you know, if your hand is paining, you can delay for like, doctor can say, well, we'll conduct this surgery in 1 week time. But there is something that will happen to you. You enter the theater immediately because of the body part affected. It's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm telling you practically. So, when people say, every believer, some people are trying to claim assistant Jesus, like they are better than others. We are not all the same. And that is actually true. I get what I'm saying. Nobody is claiming assistant Jesus. It's just God that has given his roles. So, the analogy of the human body tells you clearly that we differ. In some ways. Are you still here? We differ in some ways. So in my note I said, we are different in terms of roles and in functions. Amen. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Said, if the whole body were an eye, where we are the hearing? If the whole we are hearing, where we are the smelling? So Paul is saying, we should be grateful to God that we actually define roles. Imagine the whole body can just do one thing. Imagine all your body can just smell.
I get the point.
You'll be in trouble. Your leg is a nose. Your eye is a nose.
Well, that's this song that we used to sing. It's a good song. It just makes me laugh. I used to imagine it in my head.
Aromuni leburu sonu.
If I'm not Igbo, it means if my whole body becomes my mouth, it's not enough to think. So I used to imagine your whole body is a mouth. Your leg is talking. Your hand is talking. Crazy stuff.
Now, imagine that and see why it is stupid to say we are all the same. Mm-mm. It is the wisdom of God that we're not all the same. Look at that. If the whole body were an eye, where we are the hearing? Trying to say, if the whole body is used for seeing, how will you hear? If the whole body is used for walking, how will you eat? So bring it down. If all of us are choristers, how will you hear the message? If all of us are ushers, who will preach? If all of us are pastors, that's why everybody cannot be a pastor. That's the point we're trying to make. But if all of us are lead pastors, who will we now lead? You get the point? If everybody becomes a lead pastor, who will sweep? If everybody is a lead pastor, who will do the administrative work? Who will handle the finance of the church? Are you what I'm talking about? That means we are not all the same. And it's beautiful that we are not all the same. It is okay that we have different roles. It's okay like that. So if you begin to look at the church as a body, you begin to appreciate the wisdom of God in putting things the way it is. Are you still here? So it means we are different in roles. So there are diverse functions. All of us do not have the same function. Let us learn to appreciate and celebrate each one's gifting and function. Because we cannot all be the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? Different roles. I think the body of Christ in Nigeria needs to hear what I'm saying now, emphatically. Because people, you know, a verse dropped very heavily in this afternoon in my spirit. I'm just meditating. I stumbled. Let me say something. Whenever you see the spirit, because I noticed there's something, there's an emphasis I've been making for a very long time in the area of music ministry. Have you observed that? Whenever I see God bring that kind of emphasis, please pay attention to it. Don't think, because when I stand here, I speak as God's oracle. So don't think, Pastor just has a personal beef. I don't have any beef with anybody. But there are emphasis that the Spirit of God brings for a reason. And maybe it's because of somebody here that he keeps bringing that emphasis. Do you understand? I was watching a certain singer, gospel singer. You know, it's not amazing that gospel singers now are organizing programs. Singing, teaching, preaching, blessing people. You know the scripture that came to my spirit? Korah, do you also desire the priesthood? He said, the Lord your God has made you a Levite to serve in his tabernacle. Do you also desire to be? Let me tell you, everybody can do the same thing. Let me say something to you. That you can does not mean you should in the body of Christ. That you can doesn't mean you should. I'm just saying that. That you can do crusade doesn't mean you should do crusade. We have to be very careful. That you have influence and you can gather people does not mean you must gather people. Because we have to realize the best, listen to me, scripturally speaking, a musician from the Old Testament is a Levite. And Levites are not small people, they are hallowed people, but they have their restriction on what they can do, what they cannot do. And so Levites should serve under the authority of priests, even in the Old Testament. Or have a church where because you think you can, because you are popular, you cannot organize. This guy he was preaching. He was saying a lot of things that came to his mind. Even doing power move, do you want it? Fire is burning. And I'm not against what he's doing. What just came to my spirit, I don't know him. But I just heard the Lord, I just clearly, do you also desire the priesthood? Yeah. Do you also desire the priesthood? We must know what our boundaries are. By the time I go further, even as a local church, we must understand that we are not called to do everything as platform of grace. We are not. It's not everything we're meant to. People can be doing program, we mustn't go and do it. The fact that we can, you know the problem, once you have crowd, money, and influence, you can do anything you want to do. You see this word, can. Once you have money, crowd, and influence, you can do, I said, anything. Anything. You can even start a church. Just have money, have influence, that's have fame, and have crowd. You can start a church. Whether God called you or not, that church will do well. At least do well in the eyes of men. Once a church has money, crowd, and influence, the church can go into crusades. Crowd will gather. A church that already has 20,000 people. To do a crusade, they don't even need to do publicity. 20,000 people is a crowd. You know what I'm talking about? Just tell one person to bring two people. Crusade has started. But the fact that you can doesn't mean you should. Are you what I'm saying? Let me use the body for instance. You know, a part of your body might have the capacity to do two, three things.
but they are not designed for that. Do you understand? You know, your hand can be your leg. There are people that can lift up their hand like their leg. You know, that is all those acrobatics and walk with their hand. When we were young, I never did that. Don't worry about it. But people that could do, they would just lift their legs up with their hand. They can take, some can take 20 steps. Some people. I don't know whether you're a monkey or, I don't know, but it's okay. Now, the fact that the hand can do that doesn't mean the hand should be doing that. Because your hand keeps doing that. Let us stop all of these things. And I'm talking to you now as a believer who is, God is training, who is growing up. Know your limits. Know your limits. Know your boundaries. You go to a village and you do crusade. Maybe you are doing ministry. God just said, gather my people once every month. Let them pray. And you started doing that. A crowd began to gather. Sometimes in those premises there are 15,000 people. It doesn't mean you should start a church. No, sir. Know your limits. It doesn't now mean you don't have a church. Go and have a church and sit down there. Know your limits. Know what God has asked you to do. And it's because I talk this way, and some of people that talk, that's why many people don't like, you know, associate, because I live a very straightforward Christian life. If I don't think, because I always call, I will not stop you, but I always call you. If I'm my friend, the God says you do this, you are doing it. You have to be very careful. Remember, I said to me 2 days ago, we will answer to God, though, you know. We will. So, we are not all the same. All members in the local church are not the same. You are not a pastor. Even if you're a pastor, even when we have different pastors here, there are pastors that are admin pastors. There are pastors that handle cells. There are pastors that coordinate teams. We cannot all be doing the same thing. And we must be able to recognize and appreciate that. And celebrate it. I get what I'm saying? This is very important. Very important. So there are diverse functions. God has placed each one of us where he saw fit, where he deems fit for us. Look at verse 18. I like verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, with the last phrase, as it has pleased him. So it is totally what he wants. Totally what he wants. It's not about what you want. And that's why you look at sometimes, have you ever seen somebody stand in an office and deep down in your heart you think he's not qualified to be there? Well, he's there, God is using him. Because the answer is as it has pleased him. It is his choice. It is not your choice. And the thing about God is, he does not take permission from you before he does anything he wants to do. That is one amazing thing about God. So, your enemy, that's why you should forgive people. Do you understand? Because maybe that your ex now, God is preparing that your ex to be a global evangelist. And all the courses are running on him, you see him on TV. Amen. And maybe the day you see him on TV, he's preaching against breaking people's hearts. I see that on your TV, I say, hey, practice what you preach. Doesn't matter. As it has pleased him. That's why, again, I want to say, ministry should not be done by your will. Carry this as it has pleased in your mind. It's not about what you like doing. I like singing, so I want to be a singing minister. I want to go and start. It's not about likeness. As it had pleased him. My wife was telling me recently, we were just laughing about it. So that God can be somehow. You see somebody that has a very golden voice. Does anything like that? Very golden voice. Anointed. If a singer is shaking, God will call him to be a pastor and never to sing. See the guy with his golden voice. All he's doing is leading prayer. Shekele, brekele. So my wife was telling me, why did God not give them the voice? He should have collected it and given it to someone. But it's just God and his wisdom. So it's not a question of what I like. I like singing. Me, I like evangelism. I should be an evangelist. There is nothing like that. Nobody is asking for your opinion.
as it has pleased him. His choice. So the hand cannot say, I like seeing, so I'm going to become an eye. It's not possible. So again, beware. I don't know why I could say this. Beware of people, friends, that try to talk you into ministry. I get about the Holy Ghost. Beware of friends that try to talk. You don't talk. The freedom is talked into ministry. Say, why have you not even started the church? You get the point? Why not a priest yet? Beware of things like that. Because man's expectation of you does not translate to a calling. I know what I'm saying. Have you ever seen people trying to talk you into ministry like that? For real. Why are you not? Why have you not started doing this? What are you concerned? Say, your father is a pastor. Why are you not a pastor yet? No, sir. It's not like that. It's not like that. And be careful of people, because actually, when they are trying to talk you to ministry, the reason they are doing is they're trying to talk you out of ministry. Because ministry is in obedience. They are trying to talk you out of where you are in obedience into where you will be in disobedience. So that you start doing what is ministry to them. As it has pleased him. I feel what I'm saying. As it has pleased him. So it is God. I see pastors that have gone into error because their church became big. And then somebody says, by now, you should be having branches. As it has pleased him, sir. The church became very big. So why are you guys not doing crusade all over the place? As it has pleased him. But sir, I know pastors that do crusade and all. There are people that God can ask to do that. And it's okay. Say, is it that they are better than me? No. It's not just your job. And one of the things you begin to learn, one aspect of contentment that is not taught enough in the body of Christ, is being content with your calling. Contentment is not just about money. That is contentment with where God has put you. Where you are okay. Not that you are relaxed, but you are working hard to get to the best of what he has asked you to do. So God said you should be an eye. Make sure you see clearly without using glasses. Do you get the point? God said you should be a leg. Make sure you can run to wherever he says you should run to. He said you should be heart. Make sure you can pump blood that you don't sleep throughout. A part of me believes that by the time God brings you into core ministry, like fivefold ministry, fivefold ministry, in my analogy and all that, I see them as hearts. And those parts of the body that don't stop working. Once you get into all this major miscalling, you are that part of the body that never stops working. What I'm saying is very important, but maybe not today. There are parts that can sleep. That's why sometimes when you desire some calling, know what you're asking for. There are parts that cannot sleep. You get what I'm saying? Let me give an example. December is coming. From 22nd, 23rd, many people shops will close. People will travel. But there are people that if they close and travel, Nigeria will shut down. Imagine the police goes on break during Christmas. He said, we're police in our, there's something they're doing. Pray the police doesn't go on break. If there are no police, the reason people that commit crime still hide is because there is police. So with all their flaws, they have their job. Imagine all doctors go on break. Because it's festive season, man. Sickness does not know festive season. In fact, in that festive season, people fall sick the more. To start with, they eat rubbish. What they've not eaten in a very long time. They want to try it. They smoke things they never smoked before. Because it's end of the year. So there's one story somebody told us. Doctor was telling us. Very pathetic story. This young man has been pushing for his visa. Family has worked for school visa to go abroad to go school. To go to school. And at the time, the family has spent 20 something million. And eventually the team pulled through. And glory to God, he was to leave the next week. And that night, out of excitement, he went to celebrate with his friend. And started smoking certain things. They brought him mad to the hospital. And the hospital told them, the minimum a mental case can last is 3 months. Right? 3 months. Sir, his travel is next week. The minimum is, is it not village people? 3 months.
Amen.
God. Those village people walked out to make sure he didn't get that visa. When he finally got it, they said, don't worry, we'll catch you somewhere else. So it's in festive seasons. I shared it. In festive seasons, people are more excited and they do stupid things. So doctors cannot go and break them. Doctors may be giving shift, you know, to work, but people must be there working. Because there are parts of the body that must not sleep. That's how core ministry is. That even when a pastor is doing, I'm on vacation, he's working. A pastor should never go on break. You should never take break from prayer, from studying, from counseling, from teaching. Yes, there are vacations where we'll say for the next 2 weeks or so. Now that break is just to give him break from certain things. But you see, that pastoring, he will still be praying for the saints. He'll still be interceding for them. Are you not talking about? He will still be. So know what you're asking for. There are ladies who want to marry pastors because of the glamour that comes with it. You better be ready. Because there are demons that don't know your house. Because you're not standing in ministry. Once you come to ministry, they now know where you stay. You know, there are demons that don't know where you stay. Demons are not as powerful, you know, right? They don't know it. But once you become a pastor, you used to stand there to come and be there. We know you now. Don't you figure that all the demons that are after church members are after their pastor? Think about that. Because it's that pastor that will bring direction. It's that pastor that... So all the demons and all the curses following, they're after the pastor. So sometimes you know what you're asking for. Well, all you're thinking about is after Pastor Peter, they used to bring exotic. Is exotic in your mind? There's no exotic here. I'm not saying before. Say after Pastor Peter, they used to bring exotic. And you know, once every month, we used to say, let's honor dad. I want to be dad. You know, the beautiful thing about Nigeria now is that anybody can start a church. So start from your parlor. Gather people and tell the first day they come, say, make sure you call me dad. Everybody say dad. Then I don't want dad. They call me papa. All of you say papa. I say papa. Hey, that's who I am for you now. Where's my wife? Call her mama. I say mama. Hey, so that is more diminishing than that. You know what I'm saying? He has put all of us where it has pleased him. It's totally his choice. And look at how the human body functions. Have you observed? The leg, except it's sick, the leg does not struggle to walk. Because you wonder, how can a human be? Sir, this man sitting inside, though, have you not observed? People that are called into it, it's not as hard for them because they're equipped to do it. The leg is wondering, how come the heart doesn't rest throughout? But the heart is equipped to stay up 24 hours. It's awful I'm talking about. Now imagine the leg says, since the heart is like that, I can also be like that. No. Do you understand the point? The equipping is there. That's one of your greatest concerns in ministry. Should be, find where God wants you to be and stay there. That should be your biggest blessing. Of course, there is no part of this that is not work. There is work. But then you will do the work with much more ease. There is something about doing what you're equipped to do and do something that you're not equipped to do at all. I get what I'm saying. The nose just smells naturally. Glory, I think there's a sickness I came across yesterday. There's this sickness, if it happens to you, stop. What's it called? You become anosmic. Anosmia is the name of the sickness. I saw it there. I think that's the word, anosmia. If it happens to you, not perceive nothing. Not cooking nothing. It's a good and a bad thing. That it does. Somebody mess around you. But thank God for the functional. When you lack certain. You know why I mentioned that? Because I'm coming to make a very serious point now. When you lack certain, when some parts of your body malfunction, you will see how important they are. Because I'm going to make a very short point. One of us, let us recognize our place and enjoy whatever role and function Christ has given us. Let us not be envious of someone else's gift, roles, and function. Then I said, God gives greater honor to what seems to have less honor. What seems weaker is actually necessary and very important. That's why I mentioned this anosmia thing. Are you following me? Because most of the people say, sir, but by what experience was, we're not all the same. It means some parts of the body are more important. Well, it seems so. But it's when one part malfunctions that you find out how important they are. Look at verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 22. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble and necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Let me read the entire stuff with the New Living Translation. Verse 22. It said, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Did you see that? The parts that seem weakest and least important are the most necessary. Are the most necessary. Verse 23. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This is actually how a mature church should be. A mature church should not say, well, because this person in our mind is just a sanctuary cleaner, we don't need them. Bible says those ones that look less important should be given much honor. What that means is we don't neglect any part of the body. In fact, those ones that we don't see, kidney, liver, all those parts, we pay attention to them. Those ones that will never come to carry mic, but are serving, are working. Those ones you never see on stage, but all they do is before on Saturday, that the ones that come here to clean this place and just sit down, you pay attention to them. Because if those parts malfunction, you don't see how important they are. How important they are. You don't think your nose is that important until your nose cannot smell anything. You understand? Everybody comes and says, wow, this stew, man, is entering my nose. And you're just looking. Perceive nothing. Do you like this perfume or this perfume? You understand? You don't even know the one you like. Say anyone. Glory to God. For you know, you use shelters on your body. Because your nose cannot perceive nothing. I know the problem with that. It's possible that even when you are taking in a dangerous substance into your body through your nose, you don't know until you die. Someone sprays shelters here. Normally, you should excuse it because, of course, they can choke you to death. But you are just, they are choking. You don't know that. It's how important small things can be. I never knew anything like that. I know me. I think it's just when you have malaria. You know, malaria causes those things. You lose sense of smell and taste. But I actually saw someone complain. How did I know? Somebody was complaining about it. That he needs help. That he can't perceive nothing. But someone now said, oh, it's called this. I said, ah. He said, all his life, for long years, doesn't perceive anything. He's close to death. Except God intervenes. So there is no part of the body that you can actually say they are not important. Do you understand the point? Even your hair. Amen. They are that important. Even your hair. You say, but some people remove everything down. Is it mala? Well, you might remove the hair on your head, but your hairs are important. There is hairs inside your nose. You don't know. Those hairs in your nose are so important, right? They prevent dust and what have you from. Amen. And you know, I'm just trying to show you every part of our body is that important. So God structured the church like that. That you cannot look at yourself and say, I'm not important. So look at what you don't say. You don't say, I'm not important. Another thing you do not say is to say we are all the same. You can't say that. But we all not being the same does not mean that someone is not important. So it is wisdom to recognize difference. Wisdom is the understanding of difference. Wisdom is the understanding of difference. That's what feminists have failed to understand. All these diehard feminists, they don't understand difference. The man is the head of the family. It does not in any way mean the man is better than the woman. It's just difference in roles and responsibilities. Are you getting the point? The pastor is leader of the church. It does not mean the pastor is better than the members. It's just that he has a different responsibility that the members don't have. Are you following what I'm saying now? It's very clear. So wisdom is the understanding of difference. It's the understanding of difference. So what seems weaker is actually necessary and important. And what seems hidden actually receives greater honor and must be treated in that light. Amen. So as I close today, I want to say, you must be able to appreciate the body that God has given us. I'll say more about this tomorrow. But find your place. Value your place. If you are the hand, value it. If you're a singer in the choir, value it. Now, this is why tomorrow is going to be, let me say this to you. Tomorrow is a very important day in this particular program. So do not miss tomorrow and tell your friends not to miss tomorrow. Because I'll say much of these things tomorrow. That is why it is wrong for you to be in church and you are not doing anything in church. Which is why once you enter here, one of your major agenda is to complete your PGTI basic fast so that you can start doing something. Not doing something in church is just like a human body and the hand is paralyzed. Don't be the paralyzed part of this body. Don't be here not doing anything. Because I've already showed there is no part of the human body that is doing nothing. There is no part that is doing nothing. So any part that is doing nothing is the paralyzed part. Don't be the paralyzed, don't be the weak part of the body. Don't be the idle part, don't be the part of the body that is not doing anything. Don't be the part of the body through which the devil can attack. Because actually those idle people are the entrance of the devil into any system. I get what I'm saying? The idle ones. If there's a football match and the ones on the bench or the people watching, those spectators, that are the ones that see all the faults. So the weakness of the church most times comes from the parts of the body who are doing nothing. So what I'm talking about, those parts that do nothing, those parts that just watch, that just loaf around, that just sneak in and sneak out, they are the ones. If I go on Facebook sometimes, majority of people attacking the church are people who are possibly in church but are doing nothing. Let me give an example. Now listen to what I'm going to say. No serious giver in any church ever comes on Facebook to complain about giving. None. No serious member, worker in church complains about the workload. It is those ones that are doing nothing. They become the weak point through which the devil will get in. So make sure that if you are in the body, you are working. I've already proved to you now that there is nobody inside this place that is irrelevant. But there are people who have not found their relevance. Yes. No part is irrelevant. But there are some of us that have not found our relevance. We're still walking. You still see yourself as just a number in the pack who can just sneak in and sneak out. You are not like that. You are important. That is why the assignment of every pastor, when you hear us say things like, we want to produce a minister out of you, all we are trying to say is we want to bring you to a point where you begin to play the role that God preordained that you should play in his body. Are you on the point? We want to get to where you begin to play the role that God preordained
Let me show you an example of what I'm going to say, and I will close. When a child is born, the child has tongue, but the child cannot make meaningful sounds. So as the child begins to grow, that tongue is developed that it can now talk. Now that is how you're when you come into the body of Christ. You might be a tongue, but that time you come in, you cannot do anything with it. So training is not actually trying to make you who you are not. Training is that we're trying to bring you up to a point where you can like actually begin to do who God created that you should be. The child has legs but cannot walk. So we begin to give the child food. We begin to train the child so that it can come up to a point that it can now begin to walk around. So you are a part in the body of Christ. Now, allow yourself come to the point where you can become effective. Let yourself come to the point where you can begin to become effective. Don't be a paralyzed hand. Don't be a paralyzed leg. Don't be a blind eye. If God created you to be the eye, don't be blind. If He created you to be the leg, don't be crippled. If He created you to be the nose, don't be anosmic. My God. If He created you to be any part of the body, don't. If He said you are the skin, don't have, you know, there's something that can happen to a human body and they cannot feel things. That's why the characteristic of living things, there's something called irritability. Right? You know, don't be that part of the body that God has created to be one thing, but yet the body is lacking that thing. Do not be here and this church is lacking what you are created to be. Do not be here. Because there are different parts that we have. There are different parts. There are different parts. And God has put us that way to be effective. To be effective. I share this story with you and I close. Because there are different things. I'm not just talking about choir, or there are different things that God has put you. That's why you have to be growing to get there. A great man of God in this country, I've shared this story many times. He, you know, lost his wife and remarried. And this lady he married was just in the church. Growing, doing her thing, serving with the husband, and all of that. Then one day, you know, the lady has been paying and she just sits in the meetings, paying attention. And then when it's time to, they were doing some research in the church, so they will go buy things, come back, she will go through the records, go through the list. She wouldn't send it. So one day she told her husband, see, let me go and buy. Can I coordinate this particular purchase, the next purchase we're going to make? The man said, why? I said, please, let me just coordinate it. The man said, it's fine. She coordinated it and they saved over 40% of what they were spending and yet achieved more. That's a special grace. That's administration. That man just laughed after he saw the records and abandoned that particular section of the church. He doesn't get that. He travels all over the world. That administration, she's the one just doing everything. Every time you see that man is on the road. But there was a time he was named the widest traveled minister in Africa. He was all over the place. Church is doing well. Because someone has that administrative grace and is sitting in that capacity. I get what I'm talking about here. Now, we are all different. Now, if that woman did not step up to her place, the church will be lacking that stuff. The church will be praying for God's provision. God will be making provision, but that church will not be prospering. There are different abilities that we all have. Do not hide yourself. Grow. Get trained. Don't be the part of the body that is paralyzed. You've been made a nose. Breathe. Smell. You've been made an ear. Hear. You've been made a teeth. Chew. Whatever God has made you, you are that important. You are that important. You are that important. Amen. So, there is actually nobody here that is useless. Amen. Now, tomorrow I'm going to say a few things. There are statements that people make. Things like, don't go where you are tolerated. go where you are celebrated. He said that statement is not correct in the body of Christ. You don't go where you are celebrated. You go where God said you should be. It is that go where you are celebrated sin that is making people hop from place to place. Say, you guys don't appreciate my gift here. I'm changing. You don't appreciate my ability. I'm changing. Don't go where you are celebrated. It's not in the Bible. Don't go where you are tolerated. Go where you are celebrated. Because that is dead. Say, yeah, glory. No. We will never find that in the Bible. There are some places that God will ask you to be, and you will not be celebrated, at least at some time. Because this is why some people they correct them and they run away. Say, any place that steals your mental health, live there. No. That's what I'm saying. If not, you'll be a roaming person. So, sir, you're saying something is stealing my mental health. The point I'm trying to make is, if you know what mental health is, you won't use it carelessly. You know what I'm saying? Today you correct someone and tell my mental health is affected. Small quarrel in church, your mental health is affected. Do you know what mental health is? Do you know what depression is? The day you see a depressed person, I get the point. One of our pastors was telling me about a man that, this is wrong anyway, he did a business with someone, was supposed to import something, gave money to the person, and then the person ran away with the money. He got depressed. He ran mad. I didn't say partially mad. It's been 30-something years. He's been on drugs since then. Went mental, total. So when you see cases, when you are depressed, you won't say it. He needs God anyway. I know what I'm saying. And all this weakness, because you're in a place and they're not doing things the way you like. No, God didn't put you in the body because everything will happen exactly the same way. Don't you realize? Jesus, Paul said, if one part suffers, the whole body suffers. So, sir, what if the church has one or two issues? Well, that's why it's a human body. What if your hand is broken? Does the leg run away? We stay there until the hand is treated. Is that not true? Yeah. So, you see, changing church, let me say that, what I'm trying to say, changing church is a big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a frivolous thing. It's a big deal. You know, I closed like this yesterday. I'm saying that again today. Changing church is a big deal. Just like I gave an example yesterday, organ transplant is a big deal in medicine. Before we transplant organs, we are careful. There must first of all be need for it. I'm not saying you can never change church. I'm saying it's not something you do frivolously. Because you are not celebrated, it's I'm leaving. And what is your guarantee that when you get where you're going, they will celebrate you? Say, but since I've been there for 3 months, I've had my peace. You know the reason? You've been there for a very short time and you're not yet involved in the workforce. Once you get involved, it's human beings everywhere. I don't get the point. Have you not observed that every time you come into a new place, they treat you like your egg? Most of that I have had my peace of mind is that they are just tolerating you and just allowing you to do your thing. You come late, nobody tells you anything. You say, hey, if it's in the other church that I was, every time I say, you must be on time. See here, I just came in late. Nobody even talked because they don't know why I came late. What if I just woke up and I was not feeling too fine? You see that? You see, I've had peace since I came. You don't have peace. That are just leaving you. Plant yourself a little more. They begin to talk to you. You know, I found out that most of these pastors that preach all this, who are celebrated, all this preaching loyalty, preaching honor, they preach against loyalty and honor. If you get to their systems, you can't cough. Take what I'm saying. Forget that. They're just, Jesus doesn't attract you.
They say, oh, this loyalty thing. People are free. If you get to their system, you cannot breed. Let the poor breed. Our president said it. You won't breed when you get there. I've seen such things. But I see the kind of things they run. I just deceptive people. There is no system that will work without being very serious. So because someone corrected you or whatever, he said, or because, not even correction, maybe you are in a place. I've been here for the past 3 years. Me, I know my ability. They've never given me a chance to play keyboard. Me that can play, sit down there. Sit down there. What it means is that now you should not play keyboard. That you can doesn't mean you should. Because you can, and we say don't play for us, go and wash toilets. And you better run in there and begin to wash toilets. Because there's nothing degrading about washing toilets. The toilet of the sense. Toilet that sense used. Nothing is degrading about doing that. I get what I'm saying. Well, I've seen people, some people, it's not offense that takes them out. It's not a correction. It is that I'm here for 1 year. You know, some people are joining this church. You think that you just imagine that once you come here, the first day you came here, some people singing, say, ah, before you now, just carry them back and sing. Don't worry. That may be your destiny eventually. But we might first put you in the media team. And you snap picture for like 6 years. I tell you, be a pro. Say, but I know my talent, I know my skill. You know, I've gone around at different centers since we changed departments, and I've gotten the same complaint everywhere I've gone to. Some people have met me. So please, that department that they put me. You know, here you can feel what are your three preferred departments. You feel expression, media, technical, and you land in hospitality. That thing you feel is not important. You just want to know what you want. We are not bound to that thing you want, because God has put us in His body as it has pleased Him. It's not you. So I know some of you got your text. You say Jesus. Some of you never thought they would remove you, but they did. Some wanted to be, some prayer to be removed, but they stayed. Can you see how God is? But you know the truth. Just be effective. That's the important thing. Whether you are celebrated or not, just be sure that God wants you to be here and be effective. This is His body. Right? This is His body. We are all important, but we cannot all do the same thing. That's what I wanted to go home with today. I am important, but I cannot be pastor. I am important as a pastor, but I cannot be an usher. I'm important as an usher, but I cannot be in the media. So I respect the media. I respect the guys in the ushering team. So if the ushers say I should sit here, I should not say, are you even bigger than me? Why is it the ushers that will be telling me where to sit? Sit where they say they should sit. Exactly that spot they say they should sit. Don't shift. To the left or to the right, sit there. Did you hear what I said? Sit there. And if they stay well and say, stand up and move, stand up and move to the next place. Because that is the job of that part of the body. I get the point. The same way you in the expression, we climb this stage, and for some reason say, I just feel like all of you start jumping. Imagine small girl like you. But all of us will start jumping. Because that is where God has put you. That same way, if the usher says you should sit here, sit there. If not, when you say we should jump, we will not jump. It's just the person. It's just responsibility. You understand the point? But he said if you jump, who sits? So why who is this small girl to come up here and say that for now? If least if you're standing up, make sure you sit down and lift up your hands. Who is she? She's an expression person. That's who she is. She might be small to you, but that's where God has put her. So when she's operating like that, obey it. Take it down to the cells. Your cell leader says, we're having a meeting by 2 p.m. Be there. That is the part of the body. That's the part of the body. That's their job. That there be no schism in the body. So we have different responsibilities. I must celebrate that. Amen. Say, I'm relevant. Say, I'm relevant. Say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And I am relevant. Say, I know my place.
I'll fit into my place. I will serve in my place. And I'll be all that God wants me to be. Are you blessed today? Lift your hands. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Don't put prayer like that. Start praying immediately. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Please pray, 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 pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray with everything in you. Please pray wherever you are. Lord, you are.
Lord. Let me hear you sing. Come on.
Faithful.
Lord, you are faithful. Lord,
you are faithful.
Come on. Sing righteous, Lord. Sing
righteous.
Lord, you are righteous. Lord, say
faithful.
Lord, you are faithful.
Lord,
and I praise you, and I everybody. See who is like you, Lord, in all the earth.
Matchless, Lord, I'm you, the endless one.
Let's rejoice in this place. Come on.
Nothing in this world is satisfied. His love is Jesus, Lord, above
the world. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Matchless love and beauty,
endless love.
Matchless love and beauty, endless love.
Nothing in this world will satisfy me.
Nothing in this world will satisfy me.
Jesus Christ, the world that will not cry.
Jesus Christ,
the world that will not cry. I say, who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
I'm
get to that part of the teaching, I'm going to say what I'm going to say now again, but maybe someone needs to hear this before we go today. The local church is God's plan. Coming to church is God's wisdom. Let nobody make you feel stupid. Yeah, but the pastor, this guy's going to church. Don't think like that. I get the point. His presence, living, learning from him is everything. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So be excited. You are actually the one doing something great. You are not the one doing something stupid. I feel I'm talking about. You are the one doing something great. So you're not being stupid. Amen. And even that, I promise, I tell you things like, don't worry, God is going to visit your finance. He's going to, like, even if nothing happens to your finance, you are still doing something great. I know what I'm talking about. You are still doing something great. It's a great thing to serve Jesus. It's a great thing to learn. Jesus said unto Martha, you are encumbered about so many things. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that. What did Mary do? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus learning. To learn at his feet every day is such a great blessing. You get the point? Martha was doing ministry in courts. She was cooking. She was serving. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. So coming here to learn every day and not being stupid. And the results we show. There is an intensive work that we are going to do. I'll announce that from next week. An intensive work we're going to do as a church in the day this program comes to an end. I get what I'm saying? Intensive. That work is what we're going to be doing till it leads us to so way. Amen. So now we are getting prepared and set for it. And many of you that have participated in this meeting all this while, you will see the ease you are going to have when some of those things begin. Yes. Because even without prayer, sitting at his feet and learning every day. Learning every day. Learning every day. Amen. So let nobody feel he is being stupid. You are being wise. Are you getting the point? What did I say? You are being wise. You are being very wise. Amen. You are being very, 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 very wise. Every time you think of your pastor as being, why is this man stressing us that it's 30 days every day? Ask yourself just one simple question. What does he stand to gain by gathering us all this place for 30 days? Ask yourself. Have you ever thought about that? What is in it for? You know, people always say, what is in it for you? So what is in it for me? Actually, there is something in it for me. That eventually you all come to the knowledge of the truth and you are mature. That's what is in it. It is your good that is in it for me. So when the leadership of the church comes up with those kind of initiatives, don't say, they want to kill us. What are they gaining by doing that? So avail yourself. Don't spare yourself. Go the extra mile. So tomorrow by 10 a.m. we're going to be here. Tomorrow is a very important day in the course of this meeting. Because of some things that God will have me address. Okay? So, I want us to make sure that all our members are available tomorrow. So, at the admin team, a text should go for tonight. You get the point? A text should go for tonight. The admin team should take note of that this night. Because tomorrow is a very important day for us. I get what I'm saying? Of course, Sunday is in gathering, but tomorrow is very important. Because there are a few things God has said I should emphasize. And I'll have time to emphasize them tomorrow around the areas of the local church and all of that. So when I say that meeting, a message should go forth, I'm talking to the admin team of all the centers. All the centers. Make sure people are gathered tomorrow. But there are things God will have us emphasize tomorrow, and we'll do that by His grace and by His Spirit. Amen. Of course, somewhere within next week, a lot of emphasis will happen. So when within next week, as meeting begins to come, some days will be instructions, some days will just be spontaneous, we will come and minister the things of the Spirit. All of that will begin to happen from next week. But you see, this time that we are just giving these instructions, please be available and take them seriously. I get what I'm saying? Because every impartation is either preceded or succeeded by an instruction. Did you know what I said? Every impartation is preceded or succeeded by an instruction. And so if you miss out the instruction that precedes or succeeds an impartation, you've lost that impartation. So if I give you 30 instructions and then lay hands on you, if you do not take note of those 30 instructions I gave you, that laying on of hands will be useless to you. Or if I lay hands on you and then after laying hands on you, I give you instructions, if you ignore those instructions, the impartation will be useless. So everything will be saying, when the time comes to lay hands and minister the Holy Ghost and all of those exciting things that we're going to do, now they will all begin to find perfect expression in, because we've given you all these instructions that we've given you and they are living by them. I get to the point. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.